Welcome to the Moment in Ministry podcast. In a world that's filled with fear and anxiety, it is now, more than ever, imperative that those which are called by Christ's name turn and look upon Him.
Hello again, this is Pastor Steve Dameron for a Moment in Ministry. Today I got Evangelist Paul Schwenke, so I'm going to have him introduce himself, and then we'll get into some questions.
Well, thank you, Pastor. My name is Paul Schwenke, an evangelist out of Hillcrest Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. The Lord's been so good to me. Grew up in a good Christian family, saved as a young boy, and just gave my life to preach the Word of God. And the Lord's allowed us to do that going on 37 years now. So it's truly a privilege to be this week at Fairhaven Baptist Church and the college as well to see what the Lord's doing here.
So question number one, you're an evangelist. You've been at it about 38 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's a long time, just so you know.
I never stopped thinking about it.
So when you're coming into a church, I'm sure you kind of have a couple of purposes. Well, why don't you explain that?
Sure. You know, my biggest goal coming into a church, well, we talk about revival. And, yeah, of course, that's God's people being stirred up. Sometimes we think a country needs revival. Well, America needs to get saved. But it's God's people that need to be revived and stirred. I'm quite certain and convinced the best way to do that, and it's my biggest burden to see people stirred and revived, is there's kind of a twofold thing. First, if they can love their Bible more at the end of the meeting than they did in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then number two, if they love their Savior more at the end of the meeting than the beginning, they're walking a path of revival. So many Christians get caught up in this world and they lose their first love, like Revelation says. And so if we can stir in their heart a love for the book and just back to the Bible, back to Bible memory, Bible study, Bible reading, mm-hmm, family altars. And if we can just stir in the heart, just back to Calvary. And it's so easy to forget the great price that was paid when Jesus died for us. So a love for the Bible and a love for Christ, to me, that's a good meeting. That'll help a church. That'll help a people. That's what we'd love to see.
Okay. All right. So going along with that, okay, so as I'm a pastor, but also I have lay folks that kind of look at these and watch them. So what are some things that as a pastor, as a lay person, I'm coming up to a revival like we titled ours a winter revival, because mm-hmm, it's January and it's in
sure
Northwest
out
India,
there.
Right?
Yes,
so I know for us, months ahead of time we start talking about it, and then we set aside some time of prayer. But what are some things that you have found kind of helpful as you come up as a pastor, lay people, coming up preparing yourself for a revival?
Sure. It's so important that a pastor talks up a meeting. And, mm-hmm, and you know, it's just kind of a concentrated time of the preaching of the Bible. Yeah. For someone who's not saved, of course, you know, night after night after night to hear the gospel and to hear the preaching, mm-hmm, it's just got a way of chipping away at hearts versus Sunday and then again next Sunday. And for God's people, especially for new converts, but for that matter, for any child of God, yeah, you know, it's like taking a young person to camp. Boy, just so many good things happen in a week of camp. And get away from the world, get away from your friends, get away from the media and the culture. And when we do as a local church, it may not be out in the middle of nowhere, but when night after night, there's that concentrated time of preaching, and people anticipate that. So I think it's important for a church to set that aside on the calendar. That's a big week, you know. Yeah. You don't 3 days before try to get people to get time, yeah, off now, you know.
Right.
They got to know ahead of time. This is a priority. The preaching of the word is a priority for our church. And when the pastor talks that up, and when the pastor's truly excited about a meeting, yeah, there's never a problem for the people to get that way.
Yeah.
And I appreciate so much, even this week, you know, the choir's done a great job, the, yeah, music, and all those things just set the table,
yeah,
so the Lord can take His word and do what He wants to do.
Amen. Okay, so here's the last one is the hard question.
Okay.
This is like, you know, it's the hard one. So what I'm talking about is church is not, we can do both, but I'm going to ask, all right, so culture, how's it changed? But we can talk about like regular culture, but then I kind of want to talk about church too.
Baptist culture?
Yes.
Baptist,
okay,
yeah, sure.
So,
mm-hmm,
so as you've traveled 38 years, I'm going to keep mentioning that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm getting, right, feeling older all the time, man.
All right, so in 38 years, you've probably seen a lot of changes occur and culture, like just regularly, in our society, but then I want to turn it just specifically to churches and Baptist churches. So maybe, sure, just address the difference in just our culture now, and then we'll turn it kind of towards church talk.
Sure. Well, you know, obviously our world hates the Bible, and it always has, but it hates it more today than ever, and they hate Christ more than ever, and the culture, our world, just has no time for the Bible, so they're just going to scoff at preaching. Yeah. They hate that word, you know, and that leads into your second point, I think, because the world hates preaching, and the mindset of so many modern houses of religion is, let's do whatever it takes not to offend anybody. So the last thing they want to do is use a word like preach. And it's a sad thing, because the world hates preaching, and because of that, it just seems like that's made its way into churches and the thinking of people. Really, we can talk about, call it a revival meeting, call it an evangelistic service, whatever you call it. What it really is, just preaching the Bible. And that's exactly what people don't want. Our culture's never wanted it. Never before has it hated it like it does now. But the problem is, we have a work, it seems like, across the land, and I mean even in independent Baptist churches, and I kind of take the phrase that a minister from Germany used in the 40s when Hitler was rising to power, because really the backbone of Hitler's rise was many of the ministers and the religionists in Germany. Mm. And one preacher called it cheap grace. He said, Germany's infected with cheap grace. And I fear that's what we have in America. Everything's become so positive, so weak. Everything is just give people what they want, come for 30 minutes and make sure you leave happy, that nobody preaches on repentance, or few do, and few are willing to preach a message against sin, call it what it is. And for that matter, out the door with that is preaching.
Yes.
As an illustration, what's very popular, especially out west, I don't know if it's infected Indiana yet, I suspect it has, but there's a real modern philosophy that says, let's get Baptist ministers together and have an idea conference.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just gather together. In the old days, we gathered together to preach.
Right.
It was a preaching service. Preachers preached to preachers, and not that you wouldn't sit over some fried chicken and talk about how you're doing things. That was part of it. But we gathered to preach. But now it's not gathering to preach the word. Let's gather to share our ideas. Let me tell you how smart I am.
And
I'm always amazed in the Bible how Jesus is the great counselor, but he never asked for counsel.
Right.
And while he certainly has a lot for all of us, of course, he never asked for, nor does he need our advice. And I think it's highly offensive that where once we preached, now we share ideas.
Right.
And we've become so conference-centered. I'm a picker of words sometimes, and I always find it interesting that in the Bible, there's only one time conference is ever mentioned.
Right.
It's in Galatians, and it's not very pretty, actually.
Right.
And so in the Bible, it's about preaching.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't like that term because our society doesn't like that term.
Yeah.
So let's call it a conference. And of course, in modern houses of religion, preaching is so despised.
Yeah.
They don't have pulpits anymore. They have lecterns made out of glass. You know, pulpits of wood are in the Bible. No lecterns of glass. Aren't there. And there's a difference. You know, historically, as Baptist people, we love preaching.
Yep.
And it's interesting because there's a history to pulpits. In the early days of America, pulpits of wood, they belonged in Baptist churches where the Bible was preached. More than that, as you walk in an auditorium in a Baptist church, the pulpit's always in the center.
Yeah.
A big pulpit of wood right in the center.
Right.
And there's a reason for that historically.
Yes.
A lot of religions, they maybe have it way off in the corner. Or nowadays, there's no pulpit at all. There's a drum set with a little glass lectern. Well, pulpits of wood are in the center in Baptist churches because the preaching of the Bible was central. The other thing historically is that pulpits were always large. And I thought that had something to do with preachers and fried chicken. But no. They were large because it was meant, as you walk into an auditorium and you see a pulpit, the preacher's to hide behind the preaching of the word. It's not what I say, it's what thus saith the Lord. It's not my word, it's the Bible. And so I think what you're saying is true, that our culture, well, just hates preaching. They always have, but they hate it more than ever now, and they just scoff at it and dismiss it. And because instead of a preacher, an element of men that would stand up and say, well, we don't care what the world says, we're going to follow the Bible. Yeah. Modern religion and many modern compromising Baptist churches say, how can we appease the culture? How can we attract the culture? Or could we use the phrase, how can we be culturally relevant?
Yes.
You hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Powerful phrase. You know, because obviously there's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt be culturally relevant. However, in fairness, there's no verse that says thou shalt not be culturally relevant. But you know, when I went to Webster's to check out the words, because there are no words to study in the Bible, culturally relevant means to be connected to the culture. And when you get a definition of culture, it means pretty much the ways of the world.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there's no verse that says thou shalt not be culturally relevant, but I think there's a couple of verses that talk about connecting to the ways of the world.
Right.
And for the life of me, I don't understand the thinking that says, let's take our church and connect it to the world.
Right.
It's exactly the polar opposite messages in the Bible. Come out from among them and be a separate, a message that won't be preached in many houses of religion anymore. And so the world hates preaching. I get that. And there are a lot of churches, it's been a long, long time since they ever had a revival meeting.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time, to tell you the truth, since they ever had preaching.
Yeah.
Real Bible convicting preaching. Oh, there may be a study and there may be a lesson, but preaching is something different.
Yeah.
And so I think all that goes together. And if we're going to please our culture, then, well, we're not going to want righteousness, and we're not going to want preaching, and we're not going to want so many things in the Bible. Our culture has no time for the Word of God.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful, because it's easy to get discouraged. But the truth is, 7,000 haven't bowed the knee to Baal.
Right.
And it's the blessing I have. Just every week it's a different place. You know, I started the year in Oregon, and from there it was preached in a church in California, and then, of course, here in Indiana. Then next week I'm back in Washington. The week after that I'm heading down to Arkansas, then Mississippi, and from there, you know, who knows where, Texas,
right,
something like that. But you get the idea. But every one of these places, churches, you know, that you may have never heard of.
Right.
And there's a host of people I don't even know. Yet
that they're standing.
They're 7,000. They haven't
right.
kissed Baal. They're still
right.
doing the right thing, and it's an encouragement. They're just local churches serving God. And there's no organization. There's no big thing, but they're just preaching the Word.
So, well, thanks for your time.
It's encouraging.
And this has been Evangelist Paul Schwenke with A Moment in Ministry.
Moment in Ministry, hosted by Pastor Steve Dameron.